I'm getting into the message. Here we go. It's called spiritual authority. I want to encourage you to take notes today. This message came out of me getting sick, me and my friend talking, and getting sick of Christians putting up with too much and having a victim mentality and running around being scared of the devil and living reactively rather than proactively. So I don't often preach out of annoyance and frustration, but I just thought, let's get into the Word and see what the Word says around this. So let's go to Matthew 7, verse 29. Let's start right there. Jesus is talking about. He taught as one who had authority, it says. You know, people noticed Jesus had authority when he talked. They thought, wow, this guy's different. This guy has got authority. Now let's look at that word. This word authority is mentioned several times in the New Testament. It means power. In the Greek, I don't know if I'm saying it correctly, I'm just having a go here, exousia, it's quite a long word starting with EX, which means the right to have and exercise authority. It means delegated authority. It can also mean the official right or power. So we live and function today in the delegated authority of Jesus Christ. And as Christians, we have the liberty to exercise the full power of attorney in all of God's interests here on earth. We have complete authority to act in God's stead as if God himself were here doing the work, which of course he actually is. Inside each of us, the Holy Spirit lives in us and works through us. Now we have been given authority for a reason. We have a job to do, to represent him, to bring the kingdom, which means the rulership and authority of God, into the lives of those who are in darkness. So when you walk into work tomorrow morning, Jesus Christ just walked into your work. When you walk into your office tomorrow morning, Jesus Christ just walked into your office. This is how it works, because we are his ambassadors. We are his representatives. Now let's look at the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18. Jesus said, now let's listen to this, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. How much authority? All. Not some authority, but all. Jesus has rightfully been given authority by his dad, Father God. Jesus did not usurp it. He was given it. He did not steal it or take it. It is legally his. He is entitled to it. It was bestowed upon him. Jesus has more power and authority than the president of the USA. Hallelujah. Jesus has more power and authority than all of the governments and armies in the world combined. And you're his son. You're his daughter. You're his boy. You're his girl. That makes you a prince. That makes you a princess. In the kingdom of heaven, you are in the ultimate royal family without the paparazzi. Isn't that good news? And our dad, he's amazing. He owns the universe. He spoke it into being. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Your dad is loaded. I'm here to tell you today, your dad is the boss. Tell the person next to you, my dad's the boss. Tell the person on the other side, they're feeling left out right now, my dad's the boss. Oh, yeah. He's the boss. He's loaded. So we don't have to worry about money, about the interest rates going up. We're freaking out because the interest rates are 5, 6, 7%. Who was here in the 80s when they were 20%? Put your hand up if you owned a home in the 80s and it was 20. Look, they're still here. They didn't starve. They didn't die. God looked after them. Hallelujah. You guys are heroes, and you probably didn't moan about it as much as we are now. The Lord is going to look after us, his kids. The Lord always takes care of his own. Now, get this. We were adopted into his family when we were born again. We've got to know who we are and what we have in Jesus. Now, we're looking at this Great Commission. Let's note that Jesus has all authority where? In heaven and on earth. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So he has all authority in the spiritual realm, and he has all authority in the natural realm. That's both in things we can't see and in things we can see. That pretty much covers everything. He has got all authority everywhere. We were slaves to sin. We were owned by Satan, but Jesus paid the highest price for us. On the cross at Calvary, a divine exchange took place. This was always God's plan. And the coming of the Savior was prophesied throughout the Old Testament. The cross was not a tragedy. The cross was a triumph. And it is God's remedy for the problem of sin that separates us from Him. And now in this great exchange at the cross, all our sin and the evil consequences of that, which was pain, sickness, grief, came onto Jesus. And all of his goodness and righteousness came on us. So all our bad went on him, and all his good came on us. Yes! So now we can be reconciled to God because of what he did on the cross. Jesus took the entire sin of the whole human race on himself and paid for it with the price of his blood. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So Jesus has broken Satan's power, and now Satan must submit to Jesus. So also Satan's followers and his army, the demons, must submit to God's army. Not just the angels, it's us too. You and me are in the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army. You remember that song? I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. All of those people over 45 singing along with me, that's nice. So not only does Jesus have all authority, he's also given it to us. Look at the screen, Luke 10:19. Jesus said, I have given you authority over all the enemy's power. You will walk on snakes and scorpions. You will crush them under your feet, and nothing shall in any way do you harm. Now that means we're going to tread upon them. We're going to walk upon them. This means we're going to have absolute mastery over them. Serpents and scorpions, that means demonic power. This whole passage is dealing with Satan and demonic powers here. So Christians are to have and exercise power over all the power of the devil. We are to have and exercise power and authority over all the enemy's power. Satan is a defeated foe. God's power operates through us as we do his will. It's not just defensive power, it's offensive, proactive power. We're going to walk on those snakes and scorpions in Jesus' name. We're going to crush the works of the devil. What are some of the works of the devil? We're talking sickness, disease, addiction, slavery, bondage, oppression, violence, lies, debt, poverty. I could go on all day with a vice list. Jesus has given us his authority. That's why demons now submit to us. We're not powerful in ourselves. Without him, we're nothing. We're only powerful because he has delegated his power and authority to us. But some of you have no idea how powerful you really are. Because you serve Jesus, you have all of heaven's power backing you. And you are more powerful than you realize. Why don't you tell the person next to you, you have no idea how powerful I really am. It's true. So Jesus said, I have given you authority over all the enemy's power. Who's he talking to? He's talking to 72 believers who he sent out. Just normal people. Unlearned. Regular people. Jesus gave them power and authority to extend his kingdom. Overlooked all the learned Pharisees who'd been to Bible college, didn't pick any of them. They knew the Bible backwards. Did not pick one of them. He picked these normal people. Are there any normal people today here? Any unlearned normal people? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You don't forget us. You use us. He's not only giving authority to people who are over 21 years old. He's not only giving authority to people who've been to Bible college, or to people who are in leadership in church, or people who work full-time on the payroll for church. No, he is giving authority for all believers, all and any believers. Because of Jesus' blood shed at the cross and his resurrection, Jesus has defeated all enemies and won for himself all authority. This is not only a historical event we're talking about here. It's today. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth now, today, in 2022. God's kingdom is alive and well today. In fact, it is expanding more rapidly than ever before all over the earth. We just don't see it on the news. The problem is many of us do not realize the spiritual authority that we have. In fact, many of us doubt in our hearts that we have any spiritual authority at all. Well, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not like a guest speaker or anything. I'm just a nobody from Papa Moore. And deep inside, we may even believe the lie that Satan's power is stronger. And sometimes if we're in pain or addicted or have a problem, we don't even come up the front for ministry, for prayer, because we really don't even think that thing can be broken off us. We actually believe the devil's power is stronger, and we're going to have to live with this thing, this sickness, this addiction, this problem for the rest of our lives. Oh, how we need a revelation of the spiritual authority that is ours. This is what the devil does. He whispers to us, oh, you'll never get healed. That's my demon voice. I'm not actually demon possessed. I'm pretending. You'll never get out of debt. You'll never be able to buy your own home in Tauranga. You'll never get married. You'll never get a job. Your husband's never going to get saved. Your kid's never going to come back to the Lord. And we believe his lies, because we have no idea who we really are and what we really have in Jesus. And we attribute far more power and glory to Satan than he deserves. We even buy into ideas about him that are not scriptural. Things like, well, don't take on any responsibility or leadership in God's kingdom, because if you do, the devil will come after you. And so this idea takes root in our mind. If I just sit down and shut up and keep my head down and mind my own business and don't take a stand for God, then the devil won't notice me and he won't come after me. And I definitely won't be a connect group leader, because then the devil will come after me. This is a lie Satan uses to try and immobilize us so we don't ever do anything for the Lord. He's trying to scare us into doing fat, diddly squat, zero for the kingdom. Let's get one thing straight here today, shall we? The devil already hates you. You're already his enemy, because you're made in the image of God and you're on God's side. Satan can see that you're washed in the blood of Christ, and he hates that. The devil's whole mission statement, it's on a plaque on a wall in hell. It says, kill, steal, and destroy. That's it. There's nothing nice in there. So it's not like he's going to be kind to you if you don't bug him too much. He already hates you and wants to destroy your life. That's why he is our enemy. That's why we're not on his side. That's why we're at war with him. There are too many Christians creeping around the place trying to stay in Satan's good books so he won't come after them. Newsflash, the devil doesn't have any good books. There's nothing good about him. So can we please forget this ridiculous idea of tiptoeing around on eggshells, trying not to disturb the devil, hoping he won't notice you, because if he does, he's going to get you. The reality is, you don't need to be scared of the devil, because the devil is actually the one who is scared of you. You are his worst nightmare. And when he looks at you, he sees Jesus with skin on. And it's like at 7 a.m. when you're lying there and you're just starting to stir and wake up. That's when he starts freaking out. Oh no, he's waking up. And then you get up out of bed and rays of spiritual light are shooting out of you, and it hurts the devil's eyes. He's like, oh, you're blinding him. He's got to put his shades on, because you are light man or light girl. It's a bird, it's a plane. No, it's light man. That's who you are. You're full of light. And then you reach over and bypass your phone and reach for your paper Bible. And he's like, no, not the sword, not the sword. He fears the sword, like nothing else. And then you get up, you've read your Bible, and you start to walk around your room, and you're praying in tongues. And you're like, Kia ora, Lord, it's going to be a great day serving you today. Hallelujah. And he's like, no, stop. And he's getting a migraine. He knows it's going to be a bad day for him right there. And then you're in the car, and you're eating your toast, and you're driving to work, and you're worshiping God, singing praises as you're driving. Hell, that's another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Oh, yeah. And he's like, oh, shut up. I hate it when you worship God. He can't stand it. And then you walk into your office or your classroom or your work site and you start talking about Jesus to people and showing his love to people. And Satan knows right there, it's over, man. It's 8:30 a.m. and he's lost the battle already. Don't you realize he can't get near you? Don't you know you're covered with the blood of Jesus? Don't you know you're filled with the Holy Spirit's power? Don't you know you're wearing the full armor of God? Don't you know the angel of the Lord encamps around you to deliver you? Don't you know that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world? You are like a Holy Spirit Terminator, blasting the works of the devil. I'll be back. We've got to learn how to tell the devil where to go. You know, Martin Luther, the great reformer who led the Reformation over 500 years ago, he knew how to tell the devil where to go. The story goes that Satan turned up in his room one night as Luther was studying, reading the word, and Luther looked over and said, oh, it's only you. Another time when the devil was hassling him, Luther threw ink at him. I don't know if that's a good kind of strategy or not. And then I was reading about Luther, and it said Luther even used flatulence against the enemy. New technique, I have not heard of that. It is not a technique we endorse or recommend at C3 City Church, especially not in our prayer meetings. Maybe you could try it at home in the comfort of your own lounge room. That's a new one. Here's James 4, verse 7. It says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Note, he will flee from you, not the other way around. There are too many Christians trying to flee from the devil. You've been watching too many horror movies. Here's a quote from Saint Bernard, not the dog, the actual original guy. He said, infidels, which means unbelievers, infidels fear the devil as a lion, but those who are strong in the faith despise him as a very little worm. Amen. Who's heard of Kenneth Hagin? I think he's still, I don't know if he's still alive. If he is, he's probably like 95 or something. Amazing Pentecostal pioneer in the USA. He once had this incredible experience. He was having this amazing encounter with Jesus. But as Jesus was talking to him, this little wee demon came and stood between him and Jesus. And this little demon started going, nah, 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 making all this noise. And Kenneth was getting really irritated because Jesus was giving him this real download and telling him all this stuff. And Kenneth was listening, but then this jolly demon was interrupting and making all this noise. And Kenneth was thinking, why doesn't Jesus just tell that demon to shut up and get out? Why is Jesus letting him interrupt? Doesn't Jesus realize that I can't hear him because this demon is making so much noise? But Jesus didn't do anything. And after a while, Kenneth got so annoyed, he said to the demon, get out, in Jesus' name. And as soon as he said that, the demon hit the ground, whimpering like a little pup, fled and ran away. And then Kenneth said, Jesus, why didn't you stop that demon making all that noise? I couldn't hear what you were saying to me. Why didn't you do something? And Jesus said to him, that's your job. That's your job. Do you know, not one time in the New Testament is the church ever told to pray to the Lord to do something about the devil. We as believers are told to do something about the devil. Resist him. We've got to resist him. The Lord has given us the authority to do it. Like in Mark 16, which is like the Great Commission in Mark, it says these signs will follow those who believe in my name. The first thing it says is, they will cast out demons. And it says they'll speak in new tongues too. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, that great pioneer of faith, that apostle in Britain, he was once at a bus stop. And he noticed as he waited for the bus that this little old lady walked to the bus stop from her house. But as she walked, her dog followed her. and she was trying to get her dog to go home. And she was politely negotiating with the dog, "Go on, go home, boy. Off you go. Go back home. You can't come on the bus. Go home. Go home." And the dog just sat there. That was my dog face. And wouldn't budge. "Go on. Go home, boy." The dog just looking at her. "Go on. Go home." And then she goes, "Go home right now." And the dog just turned around and ran with his tail between his legs. And Wigglesworth said loudly for everyone at the bus stop to hear, "That is how you've got to talk to the devil. That's how you have to treat the devil." It's true. Too many believers are politely trying to negotiate with Satan rather than commanding him to get out in Jesus' name. Here's another scripture. It's almost the last one. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. "Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Note it says, "whom he may." I have decided in my life that he may not. He may not. Satan needs your permission to touch you. Don't give it to him. Don't give the devil permission to touch you or anything that is yours, your marriage, your kids, your health, your finances, your future, your reputation. You are not a victim. You have authority over all of Satan's power. We need to get a grip and stop putting up with stuff. We need to realize who we are and what we have. We've got to stop being passive and start being active for God. Last verse, if the band could come, please. 1 John 3, verse 8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. We're going to destroy a few works of the devil in a moment. We're going to pray for some people this morning. When Jesus sent out these 72 believers in Luke, they were defeating Satan and his works. They did what Jesus did, which was preaching and healing and casting out demons, three things. But today in the Western church, we've cleaned it up a bit. You know, we've just sanitized it. We don't like the healing and the casting out demons. It's a bit messy. Don't like all the growling and frothing at the mouth. You know, we don't really go there. We just do the teaching and preaching, that's all. That's what we like. And we're really into the knowledge thing here in the Western world. It comes from the original Greek mindset. Knowledge is right up there. If you don't believe me, try and run a youth event during exams. Dear Lord, we will see how many people, how many parents are committed to their kids becoming disciples of Jesus, or how many parents are committed to their kids doing really well in exams. It's a bit of clash, bit of a clash of kingdoms right there. What do we want? Do we want our kids to be brainy and get degrees and go to hell? Do we think there's a brainy section in hell? I don't think so. When you wake up, you're still in hell. We're trying to make disciples. Let's never ground our kids and stop them going to church or youth. Tell the person next to you, she's right, you know. Anyway, we have ignored and failed to emphasize in the Western church a large part of what Jesus did, which is healing and setting people free from demonic powers. It's like we've ditched two-thirds of Jesus' ministry because it's a bit messy and it doesn't fit into the run sheet. And many of us are of British origin. It's really just not our cup of tea. It's just not cricket, you know. And our favorite scripture is, "Let everything be done decently and in order." But I believe God is restoring a revelation of the spiritual authority we have to his people in the church. And we're going to see the whole ministry of Jesus come back into play. Healing, yes. Breaking demonic powers in people's lives, yes. And preaching and teaching, of course. So right now, I would like us to stand up, please. We're going to stand in our spiritual authority as children of God, and we're going to destroy a few works of the devil. Now, if you are facing a challenge right now and you're thinking, "Man, yeah, the enemy's been having a go, but I'm going to stand against it. In Jesus' name, I want you to come. We're going to pray with you." You come out now. If there's any sickness in your life, if there's any pain, if there's any bondage, if there's any struggle in your family, if there's anything you need someone to stand with you for, come. That's great. Come now. Don't be shy. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit yet, you're not speaking in tongues yet, you haven't had that power-filling encounter, you come now too, because we need the power of the Holy Spirit to stand against the enemy. Why don't everyone in the building lift your hands right now? I want you to say each line after me. We're going to say this scripture, Luke 10, 19. Jesus has given me authority over all the enemy's power. I'll walk on snakes and scorpions. I'm going to crush them under my feet. And nothing shall in any way do me harm. Now praise him and thank him.